This is the podcast for Woodland Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We are maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. We hope you enjoy the message, and if you'd like to learn more about our church, look us up at woodlandpres.org. Thanks so much. May the Lord bless you.
We have been going through John's Gospel, and where we left last time was the beginning of chapter 5, where Jesus heals a man who has been a paraplegic, probably been very ill at least for 38 years, waiting for healing, and didn't find healing until Jesus found him. And once Jesus found him, as we pointed out, it didn't take 38 weeks, it didn't take 38 days, it didn't take 38 hours, didn't take 38 minutes, didn't take 38 seconds. It took no time at all before he was healed. He was healed instantly by Jesus. And then Jesus did something which will lead us into our passage today. He told the man to get up, take the mat he'd been laying on, and leave. Leave essentially the hospital he had been in for 38 years. And some of the religious leaders saw him carrying the mat and started criticizing him because he was working on the Sabbath by carrying the mat. And this is pretty much where we pick up. Would you please stand for the reading of God's word? Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the true teacher and preacher here. This is your word that you inspired. So open our minds, hearts, and spirits to your truth as we read. In Jesus' name. Beginning on verse 16 of chapter 5. So the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. But Jesus replied, "My Father is always working, and so am I." So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him. For he not only broke the Sabbath, he called God his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. So Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will truly be astonished. For just as the Father gives life to those he raises from the dead, so the Son gives life to anyone he wants. In addition, the Father judges no one. Instead, he has given the Son absolute authority to judge, so that everyone will honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son is certainly not honoring the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. And I assure you that the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when the dead will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will live. The Father has life in himself, and he has granted that same life-giving power to his Son, and he has given him authority to judge everyone because he is the Son of Man. Don't be so surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. I can do nothing on my own. I judge as God tells me. Therefore, my judgment is just because I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will." The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. What should the headline be here? What should the headline be? Okay, let's decide here. Okay, here's one headline. Paraplegic for 38 years, healed instantly. Healed instantly. Or this headline: paraplegic healed, breaks Sabbath by carrying his mat. Which headline do we want to go with? Right? Obviously, paraplegic healed after 38 years, instantly healed. That's the headline, correct? But how did these people, how did these religious leaders make the headline that this guy who had been paraplegic for 38 years, that the issue is he's breaking the Sabbath by carrying a mat around? How in the world did that happen? You know, when we start off in John's gospel, the first three words in John 1:1, ready? In the beginning. Now, what does that make you think of? And I will tell you immediately, any reader of this from who was in Israel who would read these words, in the beginning, what would they think of immediately? They'd think of Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. What is John doing here? John is telling us God is, through Jesus, is starting over with the human race. That he created the world perfectly, and he gave Adam and Eve authority to reign over the world, to govern it, to enjoy it, to make it, help make it fruitful, to be them, they would be fruitful and multiply, to make it a beautiful place without death, without sin, which is how God created it, a perfect relationship with God, no barriers between them and God. And they turned away from all that. They turned their backs on that. And they turned their backs on the source of God, who's the source of all life, health, truth, beauty, goodness, community, creativity. And when you turn your back on the source of life, the only thing left in front of you is death. And that's what began working throughout the world and why we have so much grief in this world and so much conflict and so much pain, so much heartbreak, so much illness, so much injustice. All of it stemmed from that simple decision of turning away from the source of life and God himself and turning towards death. And what's John telling us? By saying in the beginning, in the first three words of his gospel, he's saying God's starting again, and we've got a new Adam. We've got one who is going to start anew and start reversing all that death. And that new Adam is Jesus himself. And you know, the thing we always have to remind ourselves of, and we'll see this, we've seen this throughout the scripture, throughout Jesus' ministry. Jesus is always ready to give people a new start. Over and over again, he's ready to give people a new start. We see this early on in John, in the people that Jesus encounters. First of all, when he encountered Nicodemus, who was part of this, by the way, part of this little tribe here of the religious leaders, but he was different. He was curious. We got to remind ourselves, these people want Jesus dead. He's messed up their program. He went and cleaned out the temple where they were making money. He confronted everything they're doing. He's shown himself to be against the oppressive religious system that they are running here, and they've got to get rid of him. But Nicodemus comes, and Nicodemus wants to hear about Jesus. But note, When Jesus talks to Nicodemus, he listens to Nicodemus, is what Nicodemus has to say. But he's not going to leave Nicodemus where he's at. He's not going to leave Nicodemus in the same place where he finds him, because he needs to move to a new place. And this is part of what Jesus is saying to these guys. You notice he talks about life and he talks about judgment. But the first thing he says to them when they're confronting him about breaking Sabbath rules is, "My Father is always working, and so am I." My Father is always working, and so am I. You know, one of the interesting things is these people, these religious leaders, were convinced that God worked on the Sabbath. Now, how did they know that? Well, did the sun rise on the Sabbath? Yes. Are babies born on the Sabbath? Yes. Do plants grow on the Sabbath? Yes. This is all God's work. So God is constantly working good for the human race. And Jesus is saying, and so am I. So am I. I'm going to be doing it all the time. But the line Jesus crossed here with them, if Jesus said, "Our Father is always working and so am I," they might have let it go. I doubt it, but who knows. But he didn't say that. He says, "My Father is always working and so am I. My Father is always working and so am I." They understood completely what Jesus was saying and what he meant. That he had a unique relationship with God the Father that no one else had. And that to them was blasphemy. Now, if it wasn't true, then it was blasphemy. But if it's true, they need to be paying close attention to this guy they're talking to Jesus. And at this point, things get even murderous. They work harder to find ways to kill him because they understood what Jesus is saying. You know, if you've ever heard someone say, you know, Jesus never claimed to be God, then I would say that person who's saying that has never really looked closely at the New Testament, especially the Gospels, because throughout the Scripture, Jesus is making clear that he and the Father are one, that he is the unique Son of the Father, and they understood that. That's why they decided they got to try to kill him, because they're convinced he's blaspheming. But then Jesus starts talking to them about life and judgment. And he says this, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He knows only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does." Now think about this. Why is Jesus saying this? He's the second Adam. The first Adam, first Adam and Eve, if they had obeyed everything, if they had stayed in relationship with God, if they had obeyed God, if they hadn't listened to the evil one and decided not to trust God, if they had done that, what they would have been doing was living their lives the way God does, which is generously, freely, joyfully, creatively, making things better and better. The earth, the planet, would have been run by two people whose lives reflected the life of God. You know, John tells us later, God, in his first letter, God is love. God is love. God is, the word is agape, as many of us know, which means a love that's putting the welfare of the other one first. The welfare of putting those around us before ourselves. That's what God's doing all the time. He's putting our welfare first. And he proves it most clearly here in Jesus, and this is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is coming not because he needed something, but because we desperately needed something. There was an emptiness in us. There was a need for a relationship with God. And Jesus has come to give that relationship, which is life. Which is why he talks about that the Father gives life to those he raises from the dead, so the Son gives life to anyone he wants. You know, we think about that raising from the dead just physically, but you know, that's not the primary problem. It's a spiritual renewal. It's a new life spiritually. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, who was physically alive and well, but was spiritually dead, he said to Nicodemus, you've got to have this inward spiritual birth. You've got to be born of God. You've got to experience this new life that I can give through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is saying, this is what he has come to do. He's come to give this new life to those who are spiritually dead. And those who are spiritually dead is everyone in the human race who hasn't begun a relationship with Jesus Christ and met him, because that new life only comes through Jesus. You know, the thing about Jesus in all this, he is speaking very directly to these people who hate him about new life. Why is he taking his time doing that when clearly, at this point at least, for them, their minds are closed to them. Their hearts are closed to him. Why is he talking to these people about new life that he can give and how the Father wants to give that new life through Jesus? Well, the simple answer is, as I said earlier, Jesus doesn't leave us where we are. You know, this passage also talks about judgment. Jesus sees where we are. He sees us clearly. He knows what's in our hearts. He knew what was in Nicodemus's heart. And he knew what Nicodemus needed to hear. Nicodemus, you've got to start over. You've got this religion thing all wrong. You've got to start over. You've got to be born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the woman at the well, whose life was just a wreck and a tragedy. And he speaks to her directly, gently, kindly. But he also puts his finger on what needs to change in her life, what needs to be transformed. And she hears him, and her life is transformed. After that, a secular authority comes because this child is dying, and he's begging Jesus for help. And Jesus initially says, are you here just because you want to see a miracle, or are you here for something more? And the man begs and says, no, please come. Please come. And Jesus sees a deepening. Jesus takes this man further than just wanting his child healed to wanting his whole life transformed. And indeed, the child is healed, but also he and his whole family become believers in Jesus. Then this man, Jesus finds him there. He heals him immediately. But then later on, he tells him, go and stop sinning, or something worse is going to happen to you. He doesn't leave the guy where he is, because the physical healing isn't enough. Physical healing's good, but physical healing only lasts while you're on this planet. There is an internal spiritual healing and a spiritual new life that Jesus has come to give. You know, if you watched the Super Bowl, there was and other times too, they have these commercials. The commercials, Jesus Gets Us, if you saw those commercials. If you were watching the Super Bowl, you saw those. But if you didn't, so you won't be left out today. It's a commercial about people in need, people, all sorts of different kinds of people. And it says, he gets us, Jesus, right? They use that, he gets us. And they're okay to an extent as far as they go. But here's the problem. It isn't just that Jesus gets us. It's that he sees us where we are. He does understand us. He does know what's going on in our hearts. But he is taking us to a different place, because simply getting us, simply understanding where we are, doesn't help move us into a relationship with the living God. It's a starting place. But if in the end we're lost to God forever, it doesn't help a whole lot, right? You know, sort of in response, and it, by the way, millions of dollars were not simply spent on, you know, broadcasting those ads. Lots of money was spent on making these ads as well. Well, it's interesting because a guy afterwards spent about a half hour creating a different ad. It's the one I'd rather see. Now I'm going to try to see if we can include it in the Woodland Weekly, a link to it. But in this ad, it shows a series of people, real folks, and we know their names. They're not on the screen there, but we can get them. And it says, first, former prostitute, former drug addict, former KKK member, former Islamic jihadist, former witch. All of these formers of people who had become followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus got them, understood where they were. But then he took them to a new place, to new life. Because if you're just where you are as a human being apart from Jesus, he might, you know, it's nice to feel understood. But if it's leaving you in a place that's not joyful, that's not full of richness and life and peace, because of a relationship with God, that doesn't do you a whole lot of good. Rather, Jesus takes us further. He forgives us. He redeems us. He heals us. He heals our souls. And he brings us to a new place. These poor religious leaders, and by the way, they were poor in the sense of poor in spirit. They weren't poor. They were wealthy. They were well respected. They had a lot of status in the community. They ran the religious show for all the Israelites. I mean, you know, they were trapped. They were trapped by their status. They were trapped by their wealth. They were trapped in their own minds. I mean, just think about it. Think again. If the headline is paraplegic, healed after 38 years, breaks the Sabbath by picking up the mat. You see how tragically sad that is? The smallness of spirit, the smallness of heart, and more importantly, the separation from the living God and what God is trying to do. Jesus comes, and John is telling us, through Jesus, the words, Jesus is telling us, I've come to start it all over. Why don't you join me? I've come to give new life. I've come doing exactly what and only what the Father tells me to do. Because again, he's the second Adam. This is the new start. And that's what Jesus is always, always about. A new start. And it's never too late for anybody, as long as they're on the planet. It's never too difficult for anybody, no matter what their lives have been before, how empty or how wrong. You know, after the resurrection, and on the day of Pentecost, many of the priests and religious, maybe even religious leaders, maybe even some of these here who are confronting Jesus, became followers of Jesus because they saw the evidence. They saw what God had done, saw what Jesus had done in people's lives. You know, Jesus says, "I assure you that this time is coming," verse 25, "and indeed it's here now, when the dead will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will live." Those who listen will live. He's not talking about people in the grave. He's talking about people who are walking around, who spiritually are the walking dead. The walking dead. Because they're spiritually dead, physically alive, walking around on the planet. And Jesus says, if they just listen to my voice, if they listen to what I'm saying, and what's Jesus saying? He's saying, you are forgiven of all things. You can have new life. You can have rebirth. You can start over. But you got to listen. Those who listen will live. You know, one of the things that I really love about being a follower of Jesus is that he doesn't demand that anybody follow him. He gives an invitation for us to follow him. He hopes we will listen. He hopes we will accept that invitation. But he doesn't demand that we follow him. Love doesn't demand. Love invites. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's inviting them. He's inviting us into this love relationship. You know, in this little passage, 15 verses we read today, we see there what Adam and Eve's relationship with God could have been like. It was for a while, but it could have been like a beautiful relationship. Energy, joy, peace, creativity. Of taking the earth that God had created and making it more and more fruitful. Filled with more beauty. We see what it could have been, but now Jesus is saying, guess what? Yeah, that happened. But guess what? You can start over. We can start over. The human race can start over. You can start over. All you have to do is listen to him. All you have to do is listen to his voice. Some of you know, last week I was, I grew up in Tampa, and I was in Tampa for an opportunity to spend time with family down there and see, I've got two brothers down there. And stayed with one of my younger brother. He lives over near the beach between St. Pete and Clearwater. And I was playing pickleball, some outdoor pickleball courts. And when I came off the court at one point, and there was a cement picnic table there, people waiting to play, I came off the court, and there was this young man, probably about 24, sitting, talking. He had just started telling a story to a couple other folks sitting on the bench. I don't know how the conversation started, but people more around my age, right? Baby boomers. And his name was Joe. I'll tell you what I found out about him. He was originally grew up in Manhattan. He had just finished working on a nursing degree and was getting ready to take his exams to become a nurse. But 3 years ago, he was, I think, in New York, and his best friend died. And he didn't say how his best friend died. But his best friend died. And he was completely devastated. He had never been involved in church, never gone to church at all. but he's facing the fact that his best friend died somehow or another, and he was empty, and he was lost and grieving. And he did something he'd never done before. He prayed, and he said, I didn't know who to pray to. He said, I just prayed, God, I don't know who you are, I don't know what religion you are, but I need help. I need help. I'm lost. I don't know what to do. Well, a couple days later, he was doing something on the internet, and a pop-up came that said, who is Jesus? And he thought, what have I got to lose? So he clicks on it, and it started leading him through different scriptures talking about who Jesus is, why Jesus came. And I think this went on for about a day or so, but at the end of it was the opportunity to welcome Jesus into his life, to pray and welcome Jesus into his life. And this is a guy who'd never been to church, about 23, 24 years old, just finished studying for being a nurse, and getting ready to take the exams. And he thought, I don't know if this is it, but this sounds good, and I'm going to pray. So he prayed. He prayed a simple prayer like, Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Would you please come into my life and give me new life? And he said, as soon as he finished that prayer, he felt this rush of something he'd never felt before in his heart and his life, and which he later realized was something he had never experienced, which was genuine joy and peace. And this rush of warmth and love and joy and peace was in him. And he said he just started weeping and just was crying all day. And Jesus had come into his life through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said, that was 3 years ago, and he started, this is up in Manhattan, and he started watching this church called Radiant Church down in Tampa Bay area, St. Pete, Clearwater, online, and he thought, I want to move down there and be part of this church. So he did. Now he's telling this story, sitting on a bench with people around, telling this powerful story of God working with somebody with no background, nothing about the church, about the Bible, anything about Jesus. But what he knew was his life changed that day 3 years ago, and he is pursuing Jesus today. I ended up emailing, it was really a blessing because I grew up in Tampa Bay area, but this Radiant Church is relatively new. They've got 7 campuses all around the Tampa Bay area. Solid Bible-believing church, and I emailed his campus pastor, and I said, hey, look, I met Joe, and he gave a powerful testimony about new life in Jesus. To these folks sitting around waiting, these mostly baby boomers like me waiting to play pickleball, and the guy emailed me back and said, hey, Joe is a blessing. He serves on this team, he serves on that team, and thanks so much for sharing his story. One of the amazing things for me is sitting there listening to Joe tell his story with all these people listening. And by the way, you know how folks can be sitting there, they're looking the other direction, but you know they're listening. That was the case. They're all, because it was such an intimate story and so powerful, right? But it was so encouraging, and what it reminded me again of what we've seen, God is on the move. Jesus is on the move in our country. The Holy Spirit. The country's a mess. The country's empty. People are lost and searching. But then there are people like Joe who the Holy Spirit reaches down the Holy Spirit leads him to click on a link on the internet, who is Jesus? And his life is changed forever. And ours can be too. And all the folks that we know who are hurting and lost and struggling. Let's keep our eyes and ears open for all of them. And like Jesus, be clear in sharing the truth with them. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to this message from Woodland Presbyterian Church, maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. Again, if you'd like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at woodlandpres.org. Thank you very much, and God bless you today.